Alrighty, Haksameyak again.
Amen.
And I have a message today that I've been putting together for a little bit. I thought it would be good to give here at the feast on prayer. And the name of the message is, Are Your Prayers Going Into Yahweh's Spam Folder? Are your prayers going into Yahweh's spam folder? We all get spam mail, and it's annoying, distracting, and in most times we try to delete it as quick as possible. Spam mail is junk mail. You know, we call it basically junk mail. Advertisements, unsolicited impersonal ads that we're not asking for, and information that is unnecessary, and even at times irritating. But at times, have you ever had this happen, that a letter that was personally sent to you may have somehow ended up in your spam folder by accident? So, my question is, are your prayers going into Yahweh's spam folder? Are they general, impersonal, self-oriented, short, repetitious prayers that have no power to the throne of Yahweh? Do you find it hard to pray when you're discouraged? Do you ever think that if you could only pray like King David, or the prophet Elijah, or Moses, or even the apostle Peter, they were such strong men of faith, not weak like we are. Let's see about that today. Let's take a look at this whole idea. Let's start in Jacob 5, in verse 17. Jacob 5 and verse 17. It says, even Eliyahu, Elijah, was a weak man like ourselves. So sometimes I think our concept of biblical characters is very unrealistic. You know, because what we do is we're seeing, and think, what if you were a biblical character? You know, what would be said about you, right? I can think of myself, if I was a biblical character and you were reading about me in the Bible, more than likely you would be reading about the work I'm doing in Jerusalem. You would be reading about maybe the meetings that Yahweh opened up for me with world leaders, or even going to the United Nations and sharing the name of Yahweh. Maybe you're reading about me organizing feasts or traveling to the brethren around the world like the Apostle Paul. But you know what? You would know nothing about me. You'd know nothing about my personality. You would know nothing about my hardships. You would know nothing about my trials or my overcoming, my weaknesses or anything. You know, because basically, you're learning about the person in there. So when we look at Eliyahu, right, you know, our mind right away thinks of this great prophet who fought the pierce of Baal and how strong he was. And the first thing we read in Jacob says, even Eliyahu was a weak man like we ourselves are. Because everybody is weak. And you know something, as we're going to see in the sermon, the strongest people, the strongest men, and even women of Yahweh, were the ones that were the weakest. They were the ones most broken. And I say this all the time, that you can never come to repentance if you're not broken. You know, so sometimes when we're going through situations, and even sometimes it can be a friend or a family member, and we see them hurting, and it does hurt because we love them. But think about that, you know. You can't come to Yahweh unless you're broken. So a lot of times, it's a good thing. The trial is a good thing because, you know, we're not going to overcome without it. But even Eliyahu was a weak man like ourselves, but he prayed earnestly for it not to rain, and it did not rain on earth for 3 years and 6 months. So the fact that we may be weak, the fact that we may cry out to Yahweh, the fact that we may be in despair, doesn't mean we don't have faith. They're two totally different issues. Because as we're seeing here, the strongest men of faith were the ones that had the most despair. Because it's hard not to have despair in the world we're living in today. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth caused its fruit to sprout. So Eliyahu was weak as we are, and we pray because Yahweh is strong, not us. That's the reason we're praying. We're praying, and I wonder, because like I said, one of the first critical signs, you know, we have signs of different things, like COVID now, the sign, like you get fever, you get this. One of the first critical signs that you have a spiritual problem is when you're not studying and you're not praying. And a lot of times it's because things are overwhelming you in your life, and you know, whatever's happening, maybe somebody died, maybe you lost your job, or whatever it could be, but you're stressed out. And that's actually the time we should be praying double and triple and quadruple. That's not the time to let up your prayer. That's the time to up your prayer. Because we pray because Yahweh's strong, not us. And if you want to get out of that mentality, like we talked about, you know, with neural associations, you want to break that pattern of sadness, depression, whatever, you're certainly not going to break it if you're not praying and studying. Your reality has got to be the Bible. And when those big problems happen, the Bible becomes very, very small in the background, and that problem becomes big in your life. And not to take away from the problem you're having at the time, because it is big at that time, but there's something bigger than that. And that's the time we have to strengthen ourselves with Yahweh, because He's going to give you the comfort. You're not going to get it from anywhere else. You're going to get it from Him. Let's go to 1 Kings 18, because let's look at Eliyahu. 1 Kings 18 and verse 36. And this is when he's fighting the priests of Baal. It happened at the offering of the sacrifice that Eliyahu the prophet came near and said, O Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham and Isaac and Israel, let it be known today that you are Elohim in Israel, and I am your servant, that by your word I have done all these things. Answer me, O Yahweh, answer me, and this people shall know that you are Yahweh Elohim, and you shall turn their hearts back again. Right? He's calling for a miracle. And what happens? And fire fell from Yahweh and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and the water that was in the trench. It licked it up. And all the people saw and fell on their faces and said, Yahweh, He is Elohim. Yahweh, He is Elohim. And then Eliyahu said, seize the prophets. Do not let a man of them escape. And they caught them, and Eliyahu brought them down to the torrent of the Kishon and killed them there. Some of you have been there. You know, we read the story when we're right up there where it happened, you know, and it really can come alive. But wow, think of that. You know, none of us are like that, right? Calling fire from heaven, it's coming down, and how boldly, stop them, take care of those pagans. And now let's go to chapter 19 and look what happened right after that. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Eliyahu did and all that he killed all the prophets of Baal by the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger to Eliyahu saying, so let the gods do and more, if at this time tomorrow I will not consume your life to be as the life of one of them. And he saw and rose up, Eliyahu, and ran for his life, and came to Beersheba of Judah and left his young man there. And he himself went into the wilderness a day's journey, right? Where do you go when you're looking for solace? You go to the wilderness. And he came and sat under one broom tree, and he begged for his life that he might die. And he said, enough now, O Yahweh, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Wow. Wow. So is he human? Yeah. Did he have faith? Absolutely. Do we have faith? But is there times our faith is tried? Is there times that we get scared? Is there times? Of course it is. We're human beings. And we need to admit that. There's nothing wrong with that. Look at Eliyahu. I mean, 1 minute he's over there fighting these people and going fire from heaven. And the next minute he's running from a woman. You know, he's not even running from Goliath. He's running from a woman. You know, it's like, wow. There's something to that scripture, right? Better to be on the corner of the house. Let's look at King David, right? He's another man, right? Powerful king. He comes there against Goliath, right? He wasn't a very tall man. He was probably 5'2", 5'3". You know, that's the average Jew in that day. You know, and it says it. He's small. Even to Saul, who's like 6'6", 6'5", maybe. David couldn't even wear his armor because it shows how little he was. And he's young. He's 17 years old, right? He's a shepherd boy. He's just coming there to bring the food. His brothers are mocking him. What are you doing here? Get back to your few sheep you have there in the wilderness. And yet he has a heart. He hears this, there's this person who's mocking the living Elohim. And he says, let me go after him. I'll take care of this person. You will not mock the living Elohim. What faith he has, right? And yet what happens after that? 1 Samuel 23. 1 Samuel 23. And verse 14 to 15. And David stayed in the wilderness. Again, everything's happening in the wilderness, right? It's always where Yahweh comes to his people. And David stayed in the wilderness in the strongholds And he stayed in the hill and in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him all his days, and Elohim did not give him into his hand. And David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in the forest, right? So we look here, and this wasn't something that happened once. It wasn't something that happened for a day or a week or a month or even a year. For 13 years, David fled for his life. And not in one place. Like we said, the Israelites had 42 stops in the wilderness. We don't know how many we may have. But boy, he had a lot of stops. There's a lot of different places. Ziklag and Gedi over here and many other places. For 13 straight years, can you imagine? You're running for your life. And then even afterwards, even when Yahweh brought him to the throne, his life was not a good life. It was a sad life with a lot of grief. If we look at 2 Samuel 18 and verse 31, and you know, like I said, when you look at the Bible is an overall picture, right? The Bible is an overall, even with Yeshua, you know? I mean, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John of his actual life and his doings, but most of it is for scriptural reasons. It's for covenant reasons. It's to show us that he's the Messiah. It's to show us, you know, because the Bible says the Messiah has to do certain things. It's to show us his compassion and his love. It's to show us how the people were against him. It's basically to show us an outline of his life. But the Apostle John said, if we were to tell everything that he did, the world couldn't hold the books, right? So we're not really getting the picture. We're not getting the picture when he's just sitting around with his disciples and talking, or maybe how he's feeling when he's sick. Because it talks about Isaiah, he was a man of sicknesses when he was younger. He was a sick child, you know. His relationship with his brothers and sisters that are rejecting him, or his mother that he loves so much, and she has to see him going through this pain. We have no idea of all the inner things of his heart and how he's doing. But it's the same with King David. You know, we know him as King David, and most of the things we know are great. A man after Yahweh's heart, he had courage, he had faith. And on the other end, we know he also made some big mistakes. And some people can't even put those together. How on earth could he do this and do that? But I'm going deeper here with this because I want to show you here. If we look here in 2 Samuel 18 and verse 31. And this is when his son Absalom, his very son, is trying to kill him. And they wind up taking his life. Joab winds up killing him. So they're coming to David, they're running to David to tell him, and they think it's something good. Your enemy, you know, who's come against the king has been killed. And I'm going to read verse 31. And behold, the Cushite had come, and the Cushite said, "News is born, my master, O king, for Yahweh has vindicated you today out of the hand of those rising up against you." And the king said to the Cushite, "Peace to the young man, to Absalom." And the Cushite said, "Let them be as the young man and the enemies of my master, the king, and all who have risen up against you for evil." And the king trembled, King David. And he went up to the upper room of the gate, and he wept. And he said this as he wept, my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Oh, that I had died instead of you, my son Absalom, my son. Like I said, very, very rarely in Scripture do we get this kind of thing. Do we get emotion of somebody, heavy emotion of somebody. But Yahweh is showing this. This in here, because he's showing us King David had a life of grief. You know, if he was around today, all the psychologists would probably be analyzing him as maybe manic depressant. He was not a very happy person. You know, when you look at his life, right, first of all, he's this young shepherd that has a heart for Yahweh. He's happy just being a shepherd with a sheep. He's fearless. You know, he tells the story how he fought a bear and he fought a lion and all these things. And then Yahweh calls him because of that character to be the king over the people because he knows he's a righteous man. And his life is miserable from that point on. Like I said, he runs for his life for 13 years running away like a bandit. And even when he comes to Saul twice, he has to come and show Saul what shame it is that he's even coming after him. 13 years, think about that. 13 years worrying, is Saul going to kill his father? Is he going to kill his mother? What's going to happen from here? And then finally, how does he get the kingship? He gets the kingship when Jonathan, his soulmate, His best friend for life, the guy he felt knitted to, that we're going to do this together, and we know it, and your father's going to have to come to this conclusion, but me and you, and we'll run it together, and we'll be partners, because they loved each other. It says more than the love of a man to a woman. And he takes the throne by his soulmate being killed. And that's why he took no solace in it. And actually, the man who came and told him that King Saul is dead, that he killed him, even though he didn't, he lied because he thought he'd be rewarded. David says, out of your own mouth, kill him. Out of your own mouth. Because I'm not happy about this. I take no solace in this. This is breaking my heart. Then he goes, you try to get on with life, right? People are going to die. Things are going to happen. And you got to keep your focus on Yahweh. And what happens from there? He has children. He still never really got over it. You see, he's not the best in child rearing. And his one son comes and rapes his daughter. I mean, horrible situation like that. And he's got to deal with this, but he didn't. He didn't. He couldn't deal with it. He was so depressed. He was so sad. He couldn't even deal with it. And what happens? Through time, you're going to reap what you sow. Absalom comes and he kills Amnon the brother. And at that time, they came to David and said, all your sons are dead. And he was ready to take his own life. And then they came and said, no. It's only Amnon. And then he still doesn't know what to do. He sends Absalom away. And yet he's so depressed. He's so unhappy that even Joab, who's tough as nails, sees that and realizes we got to bring him back some way. Unless Absalom is reunited with his dad, this is never going to work from here. And that's when he brings the woman. Remember to tell the story. And David brings Absalom back, but he doesn't reconcile with him. He doesn't even see him. And when Absalom's getting madder and madder, he starts meeting at the gate. He starts getting everybody's ear that may have something. And he goes against his own father. Can you imagine? His own father. And believe me, in my life, I had many people turn against me. You know, but when it's a family member, somebody who's your blood, it's not easy to take. And that's why even then, when David knows Absalom wants to kill him, to take his position, what does David say? Okay, we got to deal with this, but be careful with the boy. Be careful with him. And that's when Joab comes in later and he says, what on earth are you doing? You love the ones hating you? You hate the ones loving you? We went there to fight our life for you, and you'd be happier if we were all dead and he was alive. Because of mistakes he made in his life, he never got over it. He never got over it. He never had to redo it again. You know, he never had the chance. But this is David. This is the king. This is the side we're not normally seeing. Somebody who loved Yahweh with all his heart till the day he died. But his hope, why was it on the kingdom? Why did he trust in Yahweh? Because he saw in this world there's nothing. He saw in this world there's really nothing here. And he wasn't a very happy person, as we see. So I want to read you one of his prayers. Because like I said, we have half of Psalms, maybe even more. Some Psalms that are not listed, we think King David could have wrote him. But I want you, this is David's prayer, right? So when David was sad, when things were happening, when his son is dying, when he's being chased by Saul, did he go in a closet and just say, I don't want to pray to Yahweh, I'm just going to feel sorry for myself? No, this is the time when he cried out to Yahweh. This is the time when he knew he needed Yahweh more than anything. So let's go to Psalm 38. And again, it's not just a psalm. This is a heartfelt crying out prayer of the third person in the kingdom. A person that had such a pure heart to Yahweh, a man after his own heart, that actually Yahweh let his own son be the son of him. Can you imagine the eternal being Yeshua? That he would be the literal son of King David. So when King David is resurrected, right? And man, maybe he made a mistake with Amnon, and maybe he made a mistake with Absalom and some of his other kids. But look what he's rewarded with for eternity. Yeshua is not just his Adonai and his master, like it says in Psalm 110. Yeshua was his son. He's going to have a son that he can trust, and a son that will be loyal for eternity. So, Psalm 38. A Psalm of David. To bring remembrance. O Yahweh, do not rebuke me in your wrath, and do not chastise me in your fury. For your arrows sink in me, and your hand presses heavily on me. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger. No peace in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities have passed over my head as a heavy burden too much for me. My wounds have putrefied and rotted because of my foolishness. I am bent down. I am bowed down exceedingly. I went mourning all the day. My loins are filled with burning. There is no soundness in my flesh. I am exceedingly benumbed and crushed. I howl from the groanings of my heart. I deny all my desires before you. All my sighing is not hidden from you. My heart throbs, my power forsakes me. The light of my eyes, there also are not with me. My lovers and my friends stand apart from my stroke, and my neighbors have stood afar off, right? He's all alone, just like Yeshua was. And those seeking my life lay a snare, yea, those seeking my life speak ruin, and they utter deceits all the day long. But like a deaf one, I do not hear, and like a dumb one who does not open his mouth, and I am as a man who is not hearing and who has no rebuke in his mouth. For I hope in you, O Yahweh, O Adonai, my Elohim, you will answer. And I said, lest they rejoice over me in the slipping of my foot, they exalt themselves over me. For I am ready to fall, and my pain is before me always. For I confess my perversity. I am anxious from my sin. And my enemies are living, they are strong, and the ones hating have multiplied, they lie. And those who repay evil for good, they oppose me, because the good follows me. O Yahweh, do not forsake me. O my Elohim, do not be far from me. Make haste to help me, O Adonai, my Yeshua, my salvation. Wow. And he's talking about this from the deepest part of his heart because of what he's going through. So these men, they know exactly what we're going through. These are the men we need to look toward. These are the things we need to read when we're having these problems. Because, yes, they were men of Yahweh. Yes, they were men of faith. But they were also men of sorrows. They were human beings. And by their example, that's why it's here. It's to help us when we're going through these times of trouble. How about Moses? You know, Moses, right? The prophet of Yahweh, right? The man that Yahweh says, I don't speak to in riddles to him. I speak to him face to face. One of the strongest prophet we've ever seen in the Bible. The man parting the Red Sea. What about him? Let's look. Exodus 17. Exodus 17. Verse 1 says, and the congregation of the sons of Israel pulled up stakes from the wilderness of Sin, according to the journeys by the mouth of Yahweh, and camped in Rephidim. And there was no water for the drinking of the people. And the people fought with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you fight with me? Why do you tempt Yahweh? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Yahweh and said, why then have you caused us to come up from Egypt to kill me and my sons and my livestock with thirst? And Moses cried to Yahweh, saying, what shall I do with this people? Yet a little bit, and they're going to stone me. And we see it over and over again, you know. Here it is, Moses. You would think these people were slaves, right? These people were used to being whipped by the taskmasters. Moses was the prince of Egypt. He was a military commander, and it even says even the Egyptian army respected him. And you would think he takes these people out to the wilderness. Wow, they follow judicial order, hook, line, and sinker. No, they hated his guts. They hated his guts. They lied about him. They wanted to murder him. They wanted to stone him. And we see it over and over and over. You know, I could do a whole sermon just on the rebellion of the people against Moses at that time. And this is what he's dealing with, right? Over and over and over. Even Numbers 12, right? Even his own family, his brother and sister. And Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman who he had taken, for he had taken a Cushite woman. And they said, has Yahweh spoken by only by Moses? Has he not also spoken by us? And Yahweh heard. And the man Moses was very depressed, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. And you know, I think one of the reasons Yahweh was able to work with Moses, beside being the most depressed person, he was also the most humble person. You see, he didn't want the fame. He didn't want the glamour. If he did, he would have never left being prince of Egypt. You know, Here was a guy who just knew right from wrong and wanted to follow Yahweh. But by being the one, he didn't want to be right. When Yahweh wanted to pick him, he kept saying, take somebody else, even though he was fully qualified. He wasn't looking to be the big cheese. And yet by doing it, he lived a life of misery for 40 years, and at the end, didn't even get to go in the promised land. You know, so you could see, I know if I was there and I was Moses, I'd be pretty depressed too. You know, I might have been able to get through those 40 years if I knew the promised land was on the other side. But in the end, to die in the wilderness wouldn't have been too happy. And like I said, even when his own brother and sister turned on him, right? He intercedes on Miriam's behalf to Yahweh. The same as he did with the people. You know, right before his death, what did he say? Please, don't leave the people without a shepherd. Let me lay hands on Joshua. This is a real shepherd, a real man of Yahweh. Somebody who really was selfless. Yet, he was somebody who was lived through a lot of sorrow. And don't think it didn't weigh on his soul. Believe me, it did. You know, more than we can even imagine. Because he had 2.5 million people with him. The vast majority of them wanted to kill him. If not, you wouldn't have only had 2 people going in the promised land. You know? There's a reason. Yahweh's mercy is beyond anything we can imagine. So if these people were redeemable, Yahweh would have redeemed them. They weren't. They weren't redeemable. Because like I said the other day, they became Egyptians. They were no longer Israelites. And they didn't want to repent. They didn't want to be led by the Spirit of Yahweh. So let's go to Psalm 90, because this is Moses' prayer now to Yahweh. And to me, like I said, these things, these are gold. These are gold. Can you imagine if we didn't have it and we'd say, wow, can you imagine if we could just find one prayer that David actually said to Yahweh, how important that would be, that we could understand how he prayed and how he did it. And here we are, you know, have at least 75 prayers of David and a prayer even of Moses. The very prayer of Moses, Psalm 90. A prayer of Moses, the man of the Elohim. O Yahweh, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, wherever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are El. You turned man to dust and say, return, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your eyes are as a day, yesterday when it passes, and as a watch in the night. You flooded them away, they are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass growing. In the morning, it sprouts and shoots up. In the evening, it is cut off and dries up. For we are consumed by your anger, and we are troubled by your wrath. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your face. For all our days pass away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our years are 70, and if by any strength live 80 years. Yet their pride is labor and vanity, for it soon passes, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? And as your fear is, so is your fury. So teach us to number our days, so that we may bring a heart of wisdom. Return, O Yahweh, until when, and give pity to your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your mercy, and we will be glad and rejoice all our days. Make us glad according to the days of our affliction, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work be seen in your servants and your majesty to their sons, and let the delight of Yahweh our Elohim be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish it. You know, you can picture either King David or Eliyahu or Moses, you know, sitting there in their room and meditating and thinking to Yahweh and praying and putting it down. And here it is thousands of years later, Yahweh preserved this. Because like I said, it's gold. It's gold. Because the problem is, when we hit difficulty, people close up instead of opening up. When we hit difficulty, instead of going to these prayers and looking at them as your own, they close their Bible up. And I know myself, if I'm not in this Bible every single day, I wake up and I'm not praying to Yahweh every single day, I know I will make it. Because whatever you focus on becomes most real. And if you're not in the Bible and you're not praying, your focus certainly is not Yahweh. And like I said, Yahweh put these things there because the men that had the greatest faith for him also had the greatest sorrows. And it's for us when we go through these things that we know how to pray. And I say, Are your prayers going in Yahweh's spam folder? Is it just the old generic thing, pray the same thing, you know? Yahweh, pray for this one, Yahweh, pray for this one, Yahweh, pray for them. Thank you, Yahweh. Good night. Is it just the old same thing? You're praying to the King of the universe. You're praying to the Creator of everything. You know, all of us can have a million questions we can ask Him, and I do sometimes in prayers. How is this like this? Sometimes He answers through His Word. Sometimes He makes me think of it more, right? Because that's our glory, to search out these things, you know? Because it's amazing. How did He create the universe? How do the stars stay in heaven, you know? If this star is a million light years away and burned out, how do we still see it? And it's like, He's our dad. He wants us to talk with Him. He wants us to have a personal relationship. How about the Apostle Peter, right? He's a strong man of faith, right? He's the head apostle in the New Testament. But let's go to Luke 22. Luke 22. In verse 54. Luke 22 and verse 54. This is when Yeshua is taken on the night of the Passover. And Kepha, Peter, he goes to the house of Caiaphas. He's waiting to see what happens. And I'm going to pick up here in verse 54. And laying hold of him, Yeshua, they led him away and led him into the house of the high priest, and Peter followed at a distance. And lighting a fire in the middle of the courtyard, and they sitting down, Peter sat in their midst. And a certain female slave, seeing him sitting near the light and looking intently at him, said, "And this one was with him." And he, Peter, denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a while, another, seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about an hour intervening, a certain other one boldly charged, saying, "This one also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you say." And immediately as he spoke, the cock crowed. And turning, Yeshua looked at Peter. He's walking by as this is happening with the soldiers having him after being beaten. And Peter remembered the word of our master, how he said to him, "Before a cock would crow, you will deny me three times." And going outside, Peter went bitterly. And I think that sometimes when we don't pray, it's because we've gotten away from Yahweh. Sometimes we've gotten in a worldly environment, things have happened, and we don't pray to Yahweh because we're drifting away. I think other times it's like this with Peter because there's guilt. Something happens and we know we were wrong and we don't know how we did something wrong, and we're so ashamed that we're ashamed to go to Yahweh and pray. But again, that's the only way to be forgiven. It's the same with baptism, you know? We're not baptized because we're righteous. We're baptized because the righteous don't need a doctor. It's the sinner that needs the doctor, right? It's the sick. So we're not baptized because we're righteous. We're baptized because we're sinners. In the same way, it's at that very time when you messed up or you did something, that's the time, even though we know we're wrong and you're convicted, that's the whole reason you need to get on your hands and knees and go to Yahweh. You know, and I know as a child, you know, when you do something wrong and maybe you got in trouble at school, the last thing you wanted to do was go home and have to tell your parents and face the music. But you know what? Every time you feel a lot better right after you do it. You really feel better. Because that was me. If I had something and I knew I was going to get in trouble, I just wanted to get it over with. Because the thought of it is way worse than even the punishment itself. So if you do it, you face the music, you're serious, you change, you repent, then that's the end of it, you know. And with Yahweh, of course, He puts our sin from the east to the west. But the worst thing to do is try to avoid it. And that's what David did in his life. David avoided his problems and they magnified. They multiplied. And in the end, it got a lot worse. That if he would have dealt with things early on, his life would have been completely different. It would have been a very, very different outcome. So what happens? John 21 in verse 14. The same way that Peter denied Yeshua three times, Yeshua gives restoration 3 times. John 21 and verse 14, this is when Yeshua is resurrected and he's meeting them on the Sea of Galilee, and he meets Peter and he's talking to him. And it says, this now is 3 times that Yeshua was revealed to the disciples being raised from the dead. Then when he died, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, master, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Again, he said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, master, you know that I love you. He said, shepherd my sheep. Thirdly, he said to him, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved that he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, master, you perceive all things. You know that I love you. Yeshua said, feed my ewes. And that's when he tells Peter about how he will glorify him in his death. But you know one thing? I understand the part of asking him 3 times, because he denied him 3 times, and he's given him 3 times to be restored. But I wonder why Peter asks him, do you know I love you? You know, I mean, a week later he's denying him, right? Openly denying him publicly. And scripture clearly says, we deny him, he'll deny us. So we got to be careful with that. And, you know, every time we compromise, we deny him. And there's times we think that compromise is something good, or that, you know, we're being mature. But just like in Corinthians, where, you know, the man is having his own father, his own stepmother, and they're thinking they're mature by not judging this man. And what does the Apostle Paul said? No. I've already judged because the word of Yahweh judges. And we have to judge by the word of Yahweh. We don't judge the people, we judge the sin. But when we compromise, we're denying him, because there's no compromise in his word. So the Apostle Peter becomes, wow, the head apostle. Let's just go to 2 Peter. I'll just read a couple of verses here at the beginning of his letter, 2 Peter 1. Becomes the head apostle, dedicates his whole life. Like, if you only read about Peter after the resurrection, not before, you'd never know it was the same person. Which gives us hope and opportunity that the Holy Spirit definitely can change us. The Holy Spirit not only convicts us, but it changes us. So 2 Peter 2:1 says, Simon Peter, slave and apostle of Yeshua Messiah, to those equally precious with us, having obtained faith in the righteousness of our Elohim and Savior Yeshua Messiah, grace to you and peace be multiplied by a full knowledge of Yahweh and of Yeshua our Master, who has given us all things that pertain to the power of Elohim for the life and worship of Elohim, through the full knowledge of the one calling us through glory and virtue. So we see a totally different person that's there. If we go to 2 Corinthians 12, and we look at the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. And this is the perspective from the Apostle Paul. And again, one of the top greatest apostles that we have example of. He says, and by superabundance of revelations, that I not be made arrogant, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, that he might buffet me, that I not be made haughty. So we know Paul had problems with his eyes, but this seems to be like he had some kind of, Yahweh allowed some kind of demonic influence to taunt him because of this. Beyond this, I entreated our master 3 times that it depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will rather gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Messiah may rest upon me. Because of this, I am pleased in weaknesses, in insults, in dire needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for the sake of Messiah. For when I am physically weak, then I am spiritually strong. And like I say this, you know, great understanding of all those who love your Torah, and nothing will offend them. So if you're getting offended, especially if it's over nothing, you know, he looked at me the wrong way, he didn't look at me this way, he said this way, he didn't say that way, you know, then this is what's saying, that in dire distress, in insults, in persecutions, when we're physically weak, we're spiritually strong. So not to say when we have an ailment, we shouldn't try to get better, you know, take herbs or whatever we need to take, strengthen ourselves. I think that's a good thing, because our body is the sanctuary of the rock, HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. But at the same rate, all of us have things in our life that are just there, that aren't going to go away. And we should thank Yahweh for that. Thank Yahweh for your weaknesses. Thank Yahweh for your infirmities. Thank Yahweh for your sicknesses. Because when you're weak, you're strong. Like I said, we don't pray to Yahweh because we're strong. We pray to Yahweh because we're weak and He's strong. And it's through prayer that's going to make you strong. Fervent prayer. That you're going to come out of there and your spirit is going to be filled. And you know what? The stronger you are spiritually, the less you will feel your physical weaknesses. The stronger you are spiritually, the less you're going to feel it. You just won't feel it as much. So this is the example the Apostle Paul said. This one, we're weak, we're strong. We must go to the throne of Yahweh in humility, but also we have to go confidently with faith. We have to go to the throne of Yahweh in humility, but we also have to go with confidence and faith. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Hebrews 4 and verse 14 says, "We have therefore a high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua the Son of Yahweh. Let us remain firm in his faith. For we have not a high priest who cannot share our infirmities, our sicknesses, but we have one who was tempted in everything as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and we may find grace in the time of need." So, wow, that's why Yeshua is our mediator. That's why we have no right to go to the throne of Yahweh except through His blood. That's why every prayer we say in the name of Yeshua, we always pray in Yeshua's name, because it's only by His blood that we go to the throne of Yahweh. But He went through every single thing we're going through. If you went through trial, if you went through suffering, if you went through sadness, if you went through sickness, everything you feel, He felt for no other reason, so He can understand what we're going through. And that's why we need to go to Him, because He's going to give us the strength. Prayer is about relationship. It's not about canned requests, but it's about sharing our heart with our dad. You know, so it's not about going with canned requests, but it's about relationship, sharing our heart with our dad. 1 John 5 and verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. He says, "And this is the confidence we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from Him." And that's why the Bible says, don't say, "I'm going to go here tomorrow or there tomorrow." Say, "If Yahweh wills it." You know, everything we say, because we don't know the will of Yahweh. You know? So we don't know when we have an infirmity if it's His will to heal us. It might be His will that He's teaching us a lesson. And this is why we don't command Him what He's to do for us. We share with Him our requests, and then whenever He gives, we're happy with that. And we're trying to figure out, what does this mean in my life? What lesson do I need to learn? What is He trying? Maybe it's a blessing. You know, I looked one time, and I was thinking about a blind person. And I was saying, wow, you know, people, oh, I'm so sad for them. You know, they've been blind from birth. Oh, they never got to see. They never got to see the mountain. They never got to see colors. And that's true. They haven't got to see it. But you know what? They also have never seen evil. You know, a deaf person. A deaf person has maybe never heard, right? He can sign language, never heard. But he's never heard gossip. He's never heard a curse word. He's never heard a wrong name called for Yahweh. So sometimes, even that, even being physically deaf or physically blind can be a blessing, because you're not seeing the horror that mankind brings in this world. But like I said, prayer is about relationship, and we have to ask according to Yahweh's will. We're not demanding our way. You know, you're not praying. It's not a list of demands. You know, you think about it, and I've had the blessing of being before different world leaders, Prime Minister Netanyahu being one of them. And I've never came before a world leader and started demanding something. Number one, I knew their time is precious, more than mine. I knew that Yahweh put this opportunity there. I pray all the time. And I would just pray for Him to put the right words in my mouth. Something that I can convict, something that I can share. Many times I shared with them about when it was world leaders of supporting Israel, if they want blessings on their country. But again, it was never demands. How do you demand something, you know, from that? And it's the same way here. We have to think about who we're coming before. You know, he's the eternal creator of all things. He's also our dad who loves us. But although we want to be open and we want a personal relationship, we also want to be respectful. You have to be respectful in prayer. You know, I've heard people tell me before, you know, they were angry at things, and I started yelling at Yahweh, and then they giggled. I'm thinking, wow, I wouldn't giggle. I'd be scared. I'd be scared fire's going to come down on me. But that's certainly not a way. We can know with our children. You know, one way, if your children are yelling at you or demanding something, that's certainly not a way that they're going to get something. You know, so we have to make sure that our prayers are His prayers. And that's why I say I love the Psalms. They should be our songs. They should be our prayers. Because if we want to know what the Holy Spirit is inspiring, just look in Psalms or other parts of the Bible. That's not the only book with song, prayers and songs, but it's a big part of it. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Do not treasure up for you treasures on earth, where moth and rust cause to corrupt and where thieves dig through and steal. But treasure up for you treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust cause to corrupt and where thieves do not dig through and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. Then if your eye is pure, all your body is light. But if your eye is evil, all your body is dark. If then the light of you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one is able to serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other. You are not able to serve Yahweh and wealth, right? So our prayers are an extension of our heart. And are they only advertisements to Yahweh what we want? Is a prayer only an advertisement? And think to yourself, when you're praying, is your prayer basically the same thing? You know, that if somebody heard you pray once, they could actually tell what you're going to pray the next time. Is it just an advertisement to Yahweh? You know, what I want over and over and over, you know? Or is it a relationship? Is it something where you're over here and you're talking to Yahweh and you're seeking Him? And I say this, that when you're praying, you know, I've said before, you're speaking to Yahweh. When you're reading His Word, He's speaking to you. And many times I have my Bible out there as I'm praying. Because just like in a normal conversation, you don't go on and on and on and on and on. So as I'm praying, I take time and I pause to listen. It might be a thought He puts in my head. It might be a scripture He's inspiring me. There's times where He overtalked me. I'm talking and then I hear the Holy Spirit saying, well, what about you doing this? I'm like, sorry. Sorry, Father. Yep, you're right. And that's why I know it's not me. Because why would I overtalk myself with something bad about myself? You know? But we have to give Him that time as we're praying. You know, it's not just this. Because that's what the Bible says not to do, as we're going to see here in a minute. We're not to get into repetitious prayers. We're into praying to Him. It's a conversation. And we have to take that time to meditate. You take the time to let Him speak back to you through His Holy Spirit. 1 John 5, 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us whatever we ask. We know that we have the request which we have asked from Him. So that's where the boldness comes in, because you know what? If you're praying for His will, then there's no doubt He's going to answer the prayer. So not that we can't pray for our own things, because it's part of the outline that Yeshua said. We do want to pray for our daily needs. We want to pray for things that might be happening in our life, you know, or problems we might be having. But the majority of our prayers should be praying for the kingdom. It should be praying for His work, praying for the congregations that are being persecuted, praying for the new people that are coming to faith, praying that we can get Bibles printed and get out to people. You know, our focus, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So is most of those prayers around the work of Yahweh? Or most of the prayers around, just like I said, just basically advertisements for the things you want in your own personal life? Our prayers are an extension of our heart. Our prayers are an extension of our heart. John 5 and verse 30 says, I am not able to do anything of my own desire, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, for I don't seek my will, rather the will of Him who sent me. So we pray for the will of Yahweh. And why does Yahweh not answer prayer sometimes? Hosea 7 and verse 14. Hosea 7, verse 14, he says, "And they have not cried to me with their heart when they howled on their beds. They gather themselves for grain and wine. They turn against me." So he's saying, he's not answering because they haven't heartfeltly prayed to him according to Yahweh's will. We must pray from the heart for Yahweh to hear us. Another thing is Matthew 6, 5 through 7. Matthew 6, 5 through 7. He says, "And when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the open streets, so that they may be seen of men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your room, and shutting your door, pray to your Father in secret, and your Father, seeing in secret, will repay you in the open. And when you pray, you should not be chatterers like the pagans, for they hope by many words they will be heard." So like I said, we're not to use vain repetitions. We shouldn't do it in songs, you know, just saying the same line over and over and over. And we shouldn't do it in prayers, because a song is simply just a prayer that's just so excited that you're singing it. A jubilant prayer, you know, is a song. So we're not to just use vain repetitions. And when you look at spam mail, that's exactly what spam mail is. It's impersonal. It's the same email to thousands of people. We need to be personal with our Heavenly Father. He revealed His name to us, His character, His will, His word. His Spirit is living in us. The same Spirit that He has is inside of us. And we should be one with Him, with the Father and with Yeshua. They should be our soulmate. We have to keep it respectful, but we also want to make it personal. You want to share from your heart. You want to tell them your deepest feelings, good and bad. You know, that's another thing. You know, think of us as a parent. Think if your child only came to you with bad things. You know, the phone's ringing and, oh, it's Johnny again. And it's all like, oh, bad, 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 bad. No, you want to hear the good and the bad. You know, hey, Mom, Dad, guess what happened today? You know, hey, I was out there and I met this person. I was witnessing to him, or I got a raise at work. You know, or, you know, one of the children, something good they did. You want to hear the good and the bad. That's what a parent is there for. But we don't want to just be telling Yahweh all the bad things, you know. And that's why we talk to Him all day long. You want to share with Him your joys, and you want to talk with Him with your struggles. You have to use both. We want to keep it respectful, but we also want to make it personal. We want to share with Him our heart. We want to tell Him our deepest feelings, you know, and we want to look at someone like King David's example. I mean, when you look at those Psalms, you could just picture him, you know, as he's running from Saul, as he's going through this stuff. He's stressed out as anything. He's going for his life. And here it is. He's stretching himself out on the floor of his tent, and he's just crying to Yahweh, and the Holy Spirit is inspiring these words. Let's look at another Psalm, Psalm 31. Psalm 31, I'm going to start verse 9. And picture what David's feeling. Picture what he's feeling as you're listening to the words of this psalm. Picture what he's going to. Like I said, picture him in that tent. Picture him, he just got away from Saul. Picture him sweating, shaking, as they almost just got him. And now he's crying out to Yahweh. He has enemies all around him. And this is his exact words that the Holy Spirit is inspiring in Psalm 31. I'm going to start in verse 9 and go down to verse 24. "Give me your grace, O Yahweh, for I am in trouble. My eye is wasted away with grief, my soul in my belly. For my life is ending in grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones have wasted away." Did he have some kind of cancer or something? I don't know. Possibly. He did die very, you know, 70, right at 70. "I was a reproach among all my foes, but exceedingly to my neighbors, and I was a dread to my friends. Those seeing me fled outside from me. I am forgotten like one dead from the heart. I am like a perishing vessel. For I have heard the slander of many. Fear is all around. Because they are plotting together against me, they plan to take away my life. But I trusted in you, O Yahweh. I said, you are my Elohim. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who pursue me. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your mercy. Let me not be ashamed, O Yahweh, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in Sheol. Let the lying lips be silenced which speak recklessly against the righteous with pride and scorn. How great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you. You have worked for those who trust in you before the sons of mankind. In the secrecy of your presence, you shall hide them from man's plots. You shall cover them in a booth from the strife of tongues. Blessed be Yahweh, for he has worked his mercy wonderfully to me in Bishi's city. And I said in my haste, I am cut off from your eyes. Surely you heard the voice of my prayers when I cried to you. O love Yahweh, all you saints of his. Yahweh preserves the faithful and abundantly repays the proud doer. Be strong, and he will make your heart stronger. And you who hope in Yahweh. Wow. What an awesome, awesome prayer. And praise Yahweh that we have this. Like I said, these are real prayers. Real prayers that we can relate to. We can fervently pray these words that are inspired by Yahweh. Because Romans 8:26 says, and likewise, the Spirit also joins in to help our weaknesses. For we do not know what is right and proper for us to pray. But the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf with that earnestness that cannot be described. So I've had people try to tell me this verse when they're doing the demonic tongues and falling on the ground and barking like a dog. I'm like, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about many times when we go and pray, we don't know what to pray for. Just like when we see the prayer list on the website. We see somebody maybe is hurt or they need prayer. We don't understand the whole situation. So we're praying and the Holy Spirit understands. And it may put words in your mouth to help. Or with a situation in your life, you just may not have words that you know what to pray. And that's where the Holy Spirit will come in. Because that's what we want. We don't want our own words. We don't want our own spam mail. We don't want our own same old petitions to Yahweh. You know, same old thing. Pray for Uncle Joe. Pray for this. Thank you. Goodbye. We want heartfelt words from the Holy Spirit that are inspiring us. And sometimes we can't put them into words, but Yahweh's Holy Spirit can. And that's why I say, you got to be quiet sometimes. You got to hear that still voice. You got to let him meditate. Let him put the words in your mouth. Go to Scripture. Let him speak to you from the Scriptures. And I can tell you, I never give a sermon without praying to the rock. Because I don't want my words coming out. I want Yahweh's words coming out to guide and to lead. I want him to lead the words in my mouth. I want him to bring his message. I don't want my message to come. So we want to make sure that our prayers are personal, they're fervent, and even intimate. Personal and fervent and intimate. Because remember, Yeshua is our bridegroom. You know, we're a bride and we're excited and we're waiting for that wedding supper. You know, do you feel that way? Think about it. Think about if you're there and you know, you're engaged and your husband went off to build this house and you have to write to him. How would you do that? Or you're talking to him on the phone. That's what it is. How would you do it? He's the bridegroom. Are you excited? Are you excited to tell Yeshua the things you're doing, how you're waiting? You can't wait for the kingdom. And like I said, look at Song of Solomon. What an awesome book we have there. There's no other book in all the Bible that tells Yeshua's intimate feelings toward his bride. And that's a book that's for us. So the greater relationship you have with you and Yahweh, the more powerful and heartfelt your prayers are going to be. And you know, that prayer is the most important conversation of the day. Doesn't matter what else. It doesn't matter if you're meeting the Queen of England, which would be very exciting. But still, that prayer to Yahweh is more important than that. Psalm 28, 1 and 2. Psalm 28, 1 and 2 says, again, a psalm of King David. I will call to you, O Yahweh, my rock. Be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent from me, I may be compared with those going down to the pit. Hear the voice of my prayers and my crying to you when I lift my hands toward your holy of holies. Drop down to verse 6. Blessed be Yahweh, because he has heard the voice of my prayers. Yahweh is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Yea, my heart greatly rejoices, and I will thank him with my song. Yahweh is their strength, and he is the fortress of Yeshua. He is his Messiah. Save your people and bless your inheritance and feed them and lift them up forever. Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. We must surrender to the mind of Messiah. We have to allow the rock to lead our mind to proper prayer to Elohim. Revelation 8. Revelation 8 in 3 and 4. And another cherub came and stood on the altar having a golden censer. And many types of incense were given to him that he should give them with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense went up with the prayers of the saints out of the hand of the cherub before Yahweh. Right? So we are the only people on earth, the first fruits, that have direct access to the throne of Yahweh. So our prayers are heard, and they're necessary and they're powerful. So in our personal life, in the congregation, but also in the world, right? As world things are happening, wars, disasters, you know, vaccines, whatever it may be, that Yahweh hears our prayers, and we need to be praying to him for these things. So our prayers are heard, and they're necessary, and they're powerful. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Says, pray without ceasing. Very short verse, but very powerful. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know, the Bible gives us an example of praying morning, noon, and night. And you could pray all day long, because prayer is just conversation. You know, somebody asked one time, but what is the position you're supposed to be in when you pray? I said, well, if you're upside down and hanging in a well by your foot, that's probably the best position to pray at that time. Of course, we want to pray on our hands and knees because we want to show reverence to Yahweh, but that's not the only way to pray. You could pray in a bus. You could pray, you know, as you're walking. You could be, because it's conversation. You could pray to Yahweh all day long. So sure, you want to have your special prayer time in your prayer closet on your hands and knees, showing Yahweh all reverence and glory. But we should be praying without ceasing. We should be praying all the time. And the last scripture, Jacob 5 in verse 16. Jacob 5 in verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man is powerful. And we're not going to say just a man, a woman also. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person is powerful. So we want to make sure that our prayers, right? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person. We want our prayers to be fervent. We want them to be from our heart. And like I said, as you're reading those Psalms and you're thinking of David or Moses or Eliyahu, whoever, and you're thinking of what they're going through as they're writing this, they are pouring their heart out. They're literally, and that's what made their relationship with Yahweh. It wasn't that they were better people than us, or they didn't go through the trials we go through. The opposite. Some of them went through worse trials than we do. You know, some of them did worse sins than we do. But what they did was they had faith, they believed, they were convicted, and they had relationship. They had relationship because they sought it. They had a relationship with Yahweh. And that's what he wants with every one of us. That's why I say, you know, not every one of us in judicial order can have the position of a Moses, right, or a King David. But every one of us can have the relationship. Yahweh wants the same relationship with you and me that he has, or he had with King David and with Moses. He wants that. But it's got to be initiated, right? Relationship takes two parties to be involved. Both parties have to give in to that. Can't be one-sided. You know, you might see that in the congregation sometimes, you know. You're reaching out, someone else isn't, it's okay. You know, because it's just the way it is. But for a relationship to happen, a friendship, there has to be two ends of that. So prayer is our most powerful tool for our relationship with Yahweh and overcoming. Prayer is a conversation, right? We always say it's not a one-station. Sometimes you'll be with someone, it's a one-station. You know, I used to have this when I used to counsel when I was in America many, many moons ago. I used to do like 20 to 25 hours of counseling with people. You know, and sometimes it could just be like, you know, as soon as you say hello, that's the end of it. It's not a one station, it's a conversation. It's not a canned, repetitious statement, right? We pray to Elohim, but he usually answers through his word or inspires us by our mind through his Holy Spirit. But it's a conversation, it's a discussion. That's why I said when you're praying, take a few seconds or a minute, whatever it is. Just take some time now after you speak and listen. Listen if he puts something in your mind. Listen if he has you to go through a scripture. We want to listen as we're praying also. It's not just one party blabbering over and over. We want our prayers to be heard. When praying to Yahweh, take moments to be silent. Like I said, let him answer. Listen to what the Ruach is putting in our heart. We are humans. At times we get weary, believe me, I know, and even depressed, just as Elisha, Moses, David, and Peter, and many others, as we see in Scripture, did. You know, we could, again, I could have just kept going on, if you want to go into Job and many others, but it's life in this world. But all those true servants of Yahweh, as human as they were, they allowed the Spirit of Yahweh to convict and to change their lives. They loved Yahweh above all, with all their heart, mind, soul. They were fervent, zealous, and obedient, and they overcame their human nature by keeping a strong relationship with Yahweh through prayer. If we stay focused and continue to pray without ceasing, so can we. So I pray that this is a blessing, because this is a cornerstone in our life, having proper prayer. Praise Yahweh that we have it recorded, that you could listen to it again. But I just pray that your prayers will go up to the third heaven and be heard. Yahweh bless.